another episode of the Freeman Perspective. Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws. This was Mayor Amschel Rothschild back in 1790. The modern banking system manufactures money out of nothing. The process is perhaps the most astonishing piece of sleight of hand ever invented. Banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and they will, with a flick of the pen, they will create enough money to buy it back again. Take this great power away from them, and all great fortunes will disappear. And they ought to disappear, for then this would be a better and a happier world to live in. But if you want to continue to be slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let the bankers continue to create money and control credit. Sir John Stamp, former governor of the Bank of England. Well, tonight I have the special pleasure of having Galen Ross here with me. And Galen is owner-operator of Ross International Enterprises. And you were born in Big Lake, Texas, and has been a member of the American, the Army Security Agency, which is a branch of the National Security Agency, which is getting much airplay these days, and was trained in the field of cryptoanalysis. After completing his first manuscript, Who's Who of the Elite, he tried to get this published through standard firms and was rejected many times. And if you look at the list of people who own these firms, you'll understand why by the end of this show. So he has devoted his life to bringing out the real truth of the evil ones in this world who would like to make us all their slaves. Welcome, Galen.
It's a pleasure, Freeman, to be with you.
It is great to have you
Looking
here.
Forward to the discussion.
This is going to be a good one. People are not informed on this topic because well, I was looking into some of these things right away just to get myself a little bit of knowledge on the subject, and I noticed right here that seven Jewish Americans run the vast majority of U.S. television, the printing press, Hollywood movie industry. We got Gerald Levin of Time Warner, who is ironically our producing. We got Michael Eisner of Disney, Edgar Bronfman, Redstone of Viacom, General Electric, the News Corporation. I'm not surprised you could not get your book published.
Yeah, I sent the book out to probably 18 publishing houses, and all I got was form letters because they dare not publish what I write. And of course, I want to make it clear in the very beginning, I don't paint any one group with a very broad brush. There are good and bad in every race, gender, sex, the whole works. And so I want to make it clear that I'm not anti-Semitic. I have many Jewish friends. I have friends in all races and cultures. And so we need to make sure that we address the bad people and not paint the good ones with the same brush.
Exactly. Well, what we're looking at here is control. And it just so happens that this control tends to go back to these very same people who claim Judaism.
Yeah, and we probably ought to take it way back to the very beginning of Judaism. And let us say probably 80% of the Jews today are Jews who are not Jews. And the reason I say that, they are not seeds of Abraham, or they're not descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. But in fact, they are descendants of Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun, and that type. They originated in the southern region of Russia, from Mongolia to the northern boundaries of China to the Black Sea. And there was a number of tribes that roamed that region, and they were sheep herders and camel herders and tradesmen. And so they started settling down in this area called Khazaria. That term is no longer on the map. It's part of southern Russia now. But Khazaria was a region north of the Caucasus Mountains, between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and south of the Volga River. The capital was Idil, and it really got fairly well organized around 400 A.D. The leader of the Khazarians they didn't use the term king, they used the term Kagan or Kakan. I prefer the term Kagan. And by the way, I lived in the Middle East in Iran for 2 years, and most people don't pronounce the places over there correctly. And the people that live in the Middle East pronounce K-H as Ka, and not K. So it's Khazarians, not Khazars. Similar method, same reason, it's Iran, not Iran. And it's Iraq, not Iraq. It's sort of like if a foreigner were to come over here and say, I'm going to Chicago instead of going to Chicago. So.
But now these Khazarian Jews, they sprung up of Hun and Turkish line, but then they just seem to vanish in history.
Well, the reason they vanished, they were invaded at least three times by back in 448 A.D., Attila the Hun invaded, and then in the Muslims invaded in 737, and Genghis Khan invaded in 1223. And as these invaders marched through these regions, raping and pillaging and burning, they left children behind. And so the Khazarian Jews are, rather than being descendants of Shem or Abraham or the 12 tribes of Israel, or have more of their genes coming from Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. So maybe that explains their need to conquer the world.
Bloodline.
So it's a
bloodline of ruthless people, huh?
Yeah, it's a, and we've through the time we've had every 100 or so years, some guy will come up and have a need to conquer the world, and that's still going on today. The groups that are really, it's boiled down to two families. One of the families is the Rockefellers, headed by David Rockefeller, and the other is the Rothschild family, headed by David D. Rothschild.
Now, the name Rothschild, that came from the red shield that they had in front of the door.
That's a misnomer. I have one of my partners is from Frankfurt. He's German. And I asked him one time, what does Rothschild translate into literally? And he said, well, a lot of people think it's red shield, but it's literally red sign.
Red sign. Okay.
So just red sign. And
that was on Jew Street that they had. That.
Jewstrasse in Frankfurt.
All right. Now he got into peddling people, peddling his troops, and made a lot of money by selling the lives of men.
Yes. They rented out soldiers in the War of 1812. Most of the soldiers that came over here to fight were rented soldiers. And not British. The Rothschilds made a lot of money off of this sort of thing. And in fact, if you get back into the behind a curtain of the bringing of slaves to the United States, most of that was done by the East Indian Company owned by Khazarian Jews.
All right.
And
The Rothschilds were known as the wizards of finance or fiendish calculators who were motivated by a demonic drive to succeed.
Yeah, they invented most of the money methods today, like the most practices used by banks were originated by the Rothschilds.
Well, this is what I find interesting about money in general, is that it's up to the person to decide, or the people to decide, as to what is money, right?
That's
today
right.
We've got paper, and we're moving away from paper, going to the card. But now there was such a thing as the tally stick.
Yes.
Back in the day, where they would just have polished pieces of wood that they could break off. And it turns out that, you know, it could have been anything as long as the people agree it has value. It
accepted the value of it, and there was some way to identify the value of it. They would take bronze and brass and stamp some sort of figure on it, and that would be a medium of exchange. They probably traded pretty rocks and things like that.
Yeah, many people believe that the whole gold standard came about from Egypt or even the ancient past, and say that, you know, they chose this as their monetary form because it was a pretty and a scarce stone.
Right.
But I've also found that Egypt didn't actually use gold as a means of currency. They used it in their displays and their worship of the gods, but barley turns out to be their form of currency.
Okay.
That was one of the things that I came up with while I was looking into this.
Yeah, you can trade chickens or ducks or pigs or cows. In many of the African tribes, they use cows as their wealth. And, mm-hmm. and when a fellow wants to marry the woman of his choice, he's got to give the father of this lady maybe 50 or 60 cows.
Right.
To purchase his bride, and so cows in that case are used as money.
Yeah, and the Bank of England itself was bought on this yarrow stick system and this tally stick system, and then the Rothschilds come in. They bought the Bank of England right with the tally sticks, and then swapped the whole thing around to then pass out these reserve notes that people have to pay interest on, but really has no inherent value whatsoever.
Right.
And this is how they go ahead and then attend and steal the land and the real property.
Yeah, the central banking system actually got started about 1646 or something like that there in England in what is called the City of London. Now, we won't get off too deeply in that subject, but the City of London is not part of London. It's a sovereign nation like the Vatican is in Rome. The Vatican is a sovereign nation, just happens to be located in Rome. The City of London is a sovereign nation, just happens to be located in the middle of London.
Right.
That's where all of the big money boys do their business. Just about every major bank in the world has a branch in the City of London. The Bank of England is located there. So that's the control of the financial world. And for many years, N.M. Rothschild, every morning at 9 o'clock, they set the price of gold worldwide. And they quit doing that 2 or 3 years ago, and I was a little bit troubled why they would stop doing that. And then I think I figured out that they wanted to drive the value of gold down and then buy up all that they could and then drive it back up again, and that's really going on today.
All right. I wonder a lot what it is that is so important with gold. It
doesn't corrode, and it's beautiful. It's fairly malleable, and it's fairly rare compared to the other elements of the world. But throughout ages, gold has been worshipped by a lot of people and used as jewelry and money and things of interest.
Mm. We got rock, paper, and now we're moving on to scissors, right?
That's right.
Well, let's jump back, because now that these governments, they or these banking systems will issue out this currency. They will loan it to us, loan it to the governments. And these people do not have an affiliation or an allegiance to our country.
No.
At all.
In fact, and I use the term elite rather than the term Jew, because a lot of the members of the elite are not Jewish, so I prefer to use the term elite.
Right.
For example, David Rockefeller is proposed to be a Christian. However, he attended a Jewish seminary in 1958, so he could be a Romano Jew. But anyway, that really is beside the point. The important point is that you have two families, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, that are trying to gain control of the entire world politically and economically through their central banking system, which is owned by these two families, directly or indirectly.
They use very crafty means. I was reading the story of Nathan Rothschild when he was standing by his pillar.
Yes.
And this is a very famous story for some that look into money. And his whole deal was to find out exactly what was going on in the Napoleon War and then come back into the exchange and pretend like they had lost and that everything was...
Well, actually, he had a spy overlooking the battleground. And the spy could see that Napoleon was fit to lose, so he hopped on his speedy horse and rode to the coast and got on a speedy sailing ship and sailed over to England and got on another speedy horse and rode into London and went to the exchange and whispered in Nathan's ear. And most of the people on the floor thought that Napoleon had won, and so Rothschild sort of gave body language that he was disappointed that Napoleon won. And so consuls, or it's what they call bonds in those days, the consuls hit rock bottom. And so Nathan signaled his agents on the floor to buy them all up. And so they bought up all the consuls at a very low price, and then about 10 hours later, the news came over that actually Napoleon had lost, and so consuls then went through the roof.
Right.
So
quadrupling or even unimaginable gain on this one day, on this one sleight of hand trick.
That's right, and they're famous for that. They've been doing that for hundreds of years.
Napoleon Bonaparte says, when a government is dependent upon bankers for money, they and not the leaders of the government control the situation. Since the hand that gives is above the hand that takes, money has no motherland. Financiers are without patriotism and without decency. Their sole object is gain. That was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Right.
Well, gaining the world, we're looking at the Khazarian Judaism. And can we go through a little more of those?
Sure. The reason I say that the Khazarian Jews are Jews who are not Jews is because about 741 AD, and some say it could be 861, the king of the Khazars, Kagan Bulan, Bulan was his name, decided that his tribesmen needed a religion. Most of them were idolaters or atheists. So he felt like he needed to raise the level of his tribe. So he called in the three major religions at the time, Christianity, Mohammedism, and Judaism, and had the leaders make a pitch on the advantages of their religion. And after it was all over, he selected Judaism, and probably for the reason that if he selected Christianity or Mohammedanism, he might then become subservient to the religious leaders of those two groups. And so he selected Judaism informed his tribes that from there on they're to worship Judaism and either convert to Judaism or leave the region. And so they ran the idolaters out of the region. The men were circumcised, and from then on they worshiped Judaism. So these are Jews who are not Jews only because they just adopted the religion of Judaism.
Like Madonna.
Right. Yeah. And
I hate to throw her in there with that group, but I just was watching an interview.
Sammy Davis Jr., Elizabeth Taylor, a lot of people have just adopted. But that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. They're just as Jewish as anyone else. They just don't have the blood of the 13 tribes of Israel in them, which is, to me, not important at all.
Right. Well, you know, this was all come up in my research of magic and Kabbalism.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to dabble in that yet, but, you know, this is what a lot of these people are using Judaism for, is to study these hidden mystery schools.
That's right. And they've been secretive all of throughout history. They've formed secret organizations. The Illuminati was founded in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, and then he infiltrated the Freemasonry, and Freemasonry is a secret organization. My father and grandfather were Masons.
Mine also.
So that doesn't mean that Masons are bad. It just the upper levels of Freemasonry have some things in it that a lot of people are not aware of, that are really not Christian, but again, it probably ought not to get off in that region either.
I did want to ask, though, if you knew anything about, I mean, now Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit priest.
Yes.
Do you find the Jesuits on this pyramid somewhere?
They're not at the top. The very top are the two international banking families, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. All others are just way down the pyramid from those two families. And
then that now the Jesuits might control Freemasonry, or
well, there are a lot of people who say that the Catholic Church is behind a lot of the problems. Others say in Masons, but I just like to put it all in one hat and say that it's the elite, primarily the two international banking families.
All right.
But they control all these other groups.
Now here, I have a little statement here by Albert Pike.
Okay.
Who also had practiced Hebrew Kabbalism and was the Grand Commander of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite. Who, I imagine your father and grandfather were also Scottish Rite?
I think so.
Mine were. Well, he says that in order to achieve their goal of world domination, they would have to instigate a series of world wars. And then goes on to outline, you know, each of the world wars, ending in the Third World War, which was between the German nationalists and the political Zionists. And in this, he was hoping to bring about the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both at the same time, while bringing forth what he calls the religion of Luciferianism.
Well, if there's a book titled Jewish Utopia, and it talks about the ideal world for the Jews is, and again, I don't want to brand all Jews, I'm just, that's a term he used, to eliminate all other religions and to have all the people of the world either convert to Judaism or give up their religion and be neutral, with the king of the group being descendants of David with his kingdom there in Israel.
Do you feel that they're within this plan, we're going to have this whole Iran-Israeli war with the Russia-China alliance behind it? And are we heading towards World War III in a market crash, do you feel? Do you want to?
That's a possibility. I really think that there's a greater possibility of the next war being with China rather than in the Middle East. There will always be problems in the Middle East. There have been for thousands of years, and that won't change. But I really think the Chinese will be our next major foe.
I agree with you there. Once I saw the Russia-China alliance occur, then I started to see this picture where, you know, anything Russia says, China had to, is following. And, you know, this whole thing to me is a big plan, a big scam.
It's all part of the grand plan.
Yes.
And part of the world takeover by these two families of international bankers.
The Khazarian Jews.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. By the way, most of the, probably at least 80% of the Jews of the world are Khazarian Jews.
Really?
And probably between 80 and 90% of the inhabitants of Israel are Khazarian Jews, because most of them are immigrants from Russia, and just about all of the immigrants from Russia were Khazarian Jews. So if one of the Israeli Jews were to say, we want our homeland, then maybe their homeland is the steppes of Russia
right,
rather than Israel.
Well, these guys are prone to pitting groups together. Now, they, like we had said, it stand apart on their own, but then they'll fund both sides of the war and then
that's
reap
right,
all the benefits of everything.
Yeah, in fact, they cause, since about 1765, they've caused every war. They finance both sides of every war, and they finance the reconstruction of the nations destroyed in the wars. So this is a great source of income for them.
Yes, death. Death is their source of income.
That's right.
Say, if you want to check out League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it's got a great fictional account of the playing of both sides. And notice the little symbols in that movie.
There's an interesting fact that the Jews, or the Khazarian Jews in particular, have been run out of wherever they have been. They were, as I said earlier, they were overrun by Attila the Hun and the Muslims and Genghis Khan, and finally went west and settled in around Poland and Germany. They were then sort of took on the term Ashkenazi Jews.
Ashkenazi Jews.
And but in 1182, Philip Augustus ran the Jews out of France. And in 1390, they were run out of Switzerland. And the Jews in Spain and Portugal were called Sephardic Jews. And in 1492, when Columbus came to the United States, that's the year that the Spanish queen ran the Jews out of Spain. And the ones that remained in Spain that hid their religion were referred to as Marrano Jews. So, and then in Sicily, they were run out of Sicily in 1493. They were run out of Lithuania in 1498, and they were not allowed into the British Isles until 1650. So they're sort of like the tribe that has run through.
This was making me think of Voltaire.
Now there's a group of people that pretty well stay by themselves, and they're all over the world. I just can't remember the name of it, but they've been pretty well run out of where they were also.
Now, why? Do you know why these were expelled so often?
Well, they created a lot of havoc. They always were the moneylenders. And so they create all sorts of scams to loan money out at very usurious rates, and they were given credit for a lot of killing and burning, and so they were pretty much a rough crowd, and so they were, after people got enough of it, they just run them out.
Right.
By the way, there may be a number of people that are watching that might brand me as being anti-Semite.
Yes.
So let me just define the term Semite.
Okay.
A Semite is a group of Arabic and Jewish Semitic-speaking people of the Near East and North Africa, including Amharic, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian, Hebrew, Maltese, Syriac, and Tigrin tribes. So the term Semitic is both Arabs and Jews.
Interesting.
And so
we get easily caught up in terms.
Yeah, so you need to know the term if you're going to use it, know what you're talking about.
Right. And yeah, once again, nothing against the religion of the Jews.
That's right.
Anything there. What we're looking at here is money from nothing and the use of that money from nothing to power these people to dominate all of us.
That's correct. And they gained a lot of their power through assassination also.
Yes. They had a big part in Lincoln's assassination.
They were directly responsible for Lincoln's assassination. And
once again, we're dealing with greenbacks.
Right? That's right. Lincoln created greenbacks because the Rothschilds was a major source of that amount of money to finance the Civil War, and they were charging 36% to 48% interest. And so Lincoln went to the Secretary of Treasury, a fellow named Chase, and Solomon Chase, and instructed him to create money and paper money. They called them greenbacks because they had one side was green, and put them in circulation to pay the federal debt, and it was very successful. And so the Rothschilds couldn't stand any nation, particularly a fledgling new nation like the United States, to create their own money and credit. And so they organized the Knights of the Golden Circle.
I was just about to ask you about that.
And the Knights of the Golden Circle were sort of like a Masonic lodge. They spread all over the United States, and all of the members of the Confederate cabinet were Knights of the Golden Circle.
And call them the Lord of the Rings.
And all of Lincoln's cabinet were Knights of the Golden Circle, except he and his Secretary of Treasury, Solomon Chase. But John Wilkes Booth was a Knights of the Golden Circle member, and he was given and the reason they created the Knights was to divide the United States into two major regions, primarily the North and South, and get the South to secede from the Union, and then have them go to battle. And the Rothschilds had stationed British troops in Canada and Mexico, and Spanish and French troops were in Mexico, and the plot was once the North and South had killed as many soldiers as they could, they'd burned up their gunpowder and gone heavily into debt, then the Rothschilds would notify the British in Canada and Mexico and the French and Spanish, have those troops come into the United States, take over the United States, and bring it back under the control of the crown. Well, Lincoln saw this coming, and so he contacted the Tsar of Russia. And the Tsar agreed with Lincoln, and he sent his fleet, most of his fleet, to the United States. And he notified the British, the French, and the Spanish that if their troops crossed into the United States, that Russia was going to take the side of the North and do battle with them. And so this kept these foreign soldiers out, and it ended up the North won the battle. And but the Rothschilds wanted to create a central bank in the United States, and so they did, were finally successful in getting a 20-year charter. And so they went into the fleecing of the people, and when the charter ended, that was in, let's see, that was 1812, I believe. No, 1811. And so Congress refused to renew that charter. And so the Rothschilds created the War of 1812. They brought in the Haitian soldiers or Hessian soldiers and British soldiers to do battle with the United States, and the reason was to make the United States leaders get them to agree to let them create their central bank again. Well, after several years, they were again allowed a charter, and so they became the central bank again. And then at the end of that charter, they were denied renewal. And so they sort of lost control of our central banking system until 1913, when the Federal Reserve Act was created, which created a central bank controlled by the elite.
It's not even controlled by Americans, as far as I know.
Well, if you look at the paperwork in the Federal Reserve System, and their charter, it's owned by the member banks of each of the 12 regions, but the Rothschilds own controlling interest in most of those banks. So they indirectly control the Federal Reserve System, which creates money out of thin air,
right,
and loans it out at interest.
Right.
All right, so we've already talked about Lincoln being killed because he created greenbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fast forward to June 4th, 1963. John Fitzgerald Kennedy signed the Executive Order 11110, instructing the Treasury Department to print about $4.6 billion worth of silver certificates in direct competition with the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. One of these silver certificates were redeemable at any bank in hard currency, in silver, whereas the Federal Reserve notes were not redeemable in anything.
There is no reserve.
And there is no reserve. And it's not federal.
Yeah, right.
So you have Lincoln and Kennedy killed for exactly the same reason. They created money.
Right.
And they were killed by the Rothschild family.
Wow. Has a lot of this come up in this your book here?
Yes. I go into great detail in all of that in my latest book, The Elite Don't Dare Let Us Tell the People. That was published in December of 2004. But I cover a lot of things, the Khazarian Judaism, the banking system, wars, crimes of the elite, the problems of the oil industry. So it's small print, but still legible, but it contains a lot of facts.
A lot. It's packed solid.
Right.
Well, you know, you're getting up here in your age. You're reaching
74.
74. Okay, that's not old.
That's no big deal.
But I'm just curious. You know, what prompts you to continue this fight?
I do what I and I have dedicated the rest of my life to exposing this cabal by the international bankers to dominate the entire world. And why would I want to do that? Is because my children and grandchildren will live in a third world country if I don't do my best to stop this. And one person can't do a lot, but I'm going to do my part of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason that I have dedicated my life to doing this. And
I thank you for it.
Well, a lot of people, well, almost everyone that knows what I do, one of the first questions they ask is, why are you still alive?
Yeah, I hear Alex.
But they don't bother me. No one has ever contacted me in any way to say, quit doing what you're doing.
Until you start printing greenbacks.
Well, but maybe that's the answer. If I start printing money, then maybe they'll come after me. But Mahatma Gandhi probably had the answer to it. Is he said, first they ignore you, second they try to ridicule you, third they try to stop you, and fourth you win. So Mahatma Gandhi and Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. succeeded in what they were trying to do, but both of them paid the ultimate price for it. It doesn't bother me whether I have to pay that price or not. I'm gonna keep doing it.
Right. I feel the same way. Because what, you know, what else can we do when we see these things and we know that, and then, you know, we have these prime examples with Lincoln and Kennedy as to exactly what they don't want to happen.
That's right.
And that's the primary clue to what should happen, right?
That's right.
Because if you go into a bank today and withdraw money, they're not printing money, or you take out a loan, they're not going out and moving some gold bricks from here to there so that you can make sure that you have everything you need. I mean, but yet, if you fail to pay back this loan, you're in jail, they're taking your house.
That's right.
They're collecting the real wealth of the world, which is
They have an insatiable desire and need to put their hands on and all the wealth of the world. Now, I don't understand that, because they create the wealth.
Right.
They already have it.
Right.
They want to loan it out and then get it back. I don't really understand that.
That one has me baffled also. And that's when I start to go towards the spiritual sides of things, as I watch like Bohemian Grove and them worshiping this owl god who, you know, I've done research into this, and I find that to be the worship of Baal and Anat, and a Babylonian deity.
That's correct.
And, so, you know, I see them performing these rituals, the cremation of care. And what do you think about all that?
Well, the average person, if you talk about what goes on in Bohemian Grove, their reaction is probably you created that out of thin air. That doesn't really happen. That doesn't go on in the United States.
Here in Texas, we all know it's true.
my dear friend Alex Jones, he got the evidence. He and Mike Hansen snuck into the Bohemian Grove with a video camera and videoed this ceremony where they were sacrificing this so-called person, whether it was paper mache or a real person, we don't know, on this altar in front of this 40-foot concrete owl. And they were dressed in medieval robes, and different colored robes meant different levels of within the organization. And so these are pretty evil people. And maybe it goes back to the Khazarian area. They had some pretty stiff penalties for some of their things that happened. For example, if a man and woman committed adultery, they would tie them to a tree. They would take an ox and pull the top of a tree down, and or maybe a couple of trees, and then tie it to these people, and then they cut ropes and literally pull them in half. And so they're very brutal people.
They are. I keep wondering if they're human at all. You know.
Well,
I've never. You know, they have to inspire us to kill one another. It's they play upon our good nature, on the fact that we actually have this sense of nobility, this sense of honor, and then they teach us to fight and die for
right.
that honor.
That's right.
And yet they're sponsoring the whole thing. They're making up all the lies that are causing us to kill one another. And these people are not like any other human I know.
No, they're really, the only term that I can think of that describes them is evil.
Yes.
I don't know of any other term that fits better. And I'm not talking about Jews in general. I'm talking about
this ruling elite.
The ruling elite, which are made up of some Semitic Jews, mostly Khazarian Jews, and some Gentiles.
Because what does happen once, let's say they manage to master this whole plan, get World War III going, we all are, you know, left with nothing, we're in a third world country, and they're ruling all of us. Let's just say they win, all right? And then what, you know?
Yeah, they'd be up in their castle looking out over a desolate nation, and what do they gain from it?
What do they gain from it? I mean, as we watch as they destroy our world, you know, through, I mean, our whole system is messed up, right? I mean, in your earlier days, people weren't working 80 hours a week to survive. They weren't running around fast in road rage trying to get everything done. And here we have this experiment going on in America, and we're all rushing as fast as we can to get it done. Right. And we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what the end goal is. We're certainly not working towards utopia.
You go back 30, 40 years, the head of the household was the husband. He worked. The wife stayed home, took care of the kids.
Right.
The elite have gotten us to the point now where, in order to survive, the wife has to go to work, and this leaves the kids home as latchkey kids, and the problems that come from that.
Right.
So, and this is all part of the grand plan to destroy just about everybody.
Yeah. I can see where they're working on our own spirituality, our own sense of place in the world, where they brought Bill Clinton in knowing that he was a coke snorting womanizer. I mean, right. This was the motto in Arkansas was "Elect Clinton, get him out of Arkansas."
Right.
They put him in there because they knew they would have never said JFK did something with a cigar. They would have never brought that up. They wanted to demean this president because that demeaned Americans.
Right.
And then they railroad W into office to demean the whole idea of presidential elections, and everybody loses faith in their country. And we're all being psychologically set up to lose the next war.
Yeah. Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, a week or two ago, I think she was in Germany, but she was in front of the microphone, and she said, "The United States does not torture people. They don't transport people to other countries to torture them. They don't have anything to do with torture. It's not our philosophy or any of our makeup to torture people." And a week before that, on 60 Minutes, one of the leading managers in the CIA was talking about how they were capturing people, kidnapping people here and there, and take them to different countries because their laws allowed torture.
Right.
So you have contradicting statements there by
absolutely
people, and I hope that a lot of people took that 60 Minutes segment and showed it to Condoleezza Rice, because she and rub her face in it, because she really just out and out lied about it. The CIA does torture people. They do all sorts of things, and to deny it is most people see through this, and so you really lose credibility when you take a position like that.
Well, I really believe they're trying to demean everything American. One thing that really astounds me is it shows like the fear factor. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
No, I haven't seen that.
People will drink blended rats.
I've seen parts of that, yeah.
For $50,000, which of course is nothing, right? Money is nothing. It's a piece of paper that has no backing whatsoever. But these people, and they're showing this American greed to the whole world.
Yeah.
Look at these silly Americans. They're willing to eat, rotted cow guts and blended rats for money. They'll do anything for money. They're really demeaning us to the world.
Yeah, the eyes of the world, of their concept of the United States is just really almost rock bottom because of, of course, the elite own the news media.
Yes.
And so they purposely do all these things to destroy the image of the United States to the rest of the world.
Let me just do this list real quick here, because
okay.
Seven Jewish men collectively control ABC, NBC, CBS, Turner Broadcasting, CNN, MTV, Universal Studios, MCA Records, Geffen Records, DGC Records, DRP Records, Rising Tide Records, Universal, and Interscope. Seven people own all of this. I remember when that happened, when everything started to go together. That wasn't that long ago.
Well, it actually, but it's been going on for many years.
Right.
But in either 1907 or 1917, there was one of the members of the House of Representatives railed about the elite in the Congressional Record, and he said that there was a study done by the elite to see how many newspapers they had to buy in order to control the news. and learned that of all the newspapers in the United States, they only had to purchase 25 newspapers because these supplied the news to all of the rest of the newspapers.
I'm sorry if I'm interrupting.
But go ahead.
I was at the WTO protest, the IMF protest.
Okay.
I did not go to the one in Seattle where we actually had a Kent State scenario and people were actually shot and died and concussion grenades and all the crazy stuff that went on in Seattle. But when it happened in D.C., I was like, I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go stand my ground. And I went up there to the D.C. protest, and now there were cameras everywhere. I mean, you saw antenna towers, this, that, and everything all over the place. I mean, the amount of press was just, they almost toppled the 500,000 people there standing against the World Trade.
Yeah.
But when I got to the news, one thing, the news at the time only showed the violence.
Right.
That's all they showed, and they didn't get to the fact that there were 500,000 people marching against this. And then when I started traveling from there, from state to state, I looked at each newspaper to see what they were showing on the whole thing, and every single one of them had the exact same photo.
Well, they all come from the same source.
They come from one source.
In fact, the Rothschilds bought Reuters back in the late 1800s, and then Reuters bought out Associated Press. So that's the two major wire services that supply news to all other news agencies. So they absolutely control everything that you see and read. And a lot of people think that if it's on television or it's in a newspaper, it must be true.
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong. Absolutely wrong. This is just too much. What do you think we could do? I mean, I personally only think that the only thing you could do is like try and stand strong in your own spirituality, whatever that may be. You know, religion or no religion, just...
The last chapter of this book, The Elite Don't Dare Tell Us, Let Us Tell the People, the entire chapter is devoted to what I think we need to do to stop them.
Yes.
And probably take another couple of hours to cover that, but
right.
I'll just hit a few things. The two-party system is a major fault in our government. There's very little difference between the two parties except in name.
Right.
They don't do anything. If you, I challenge you to think about any law that's been passed by Congress and signed by the president that is for the benefit of the general public in your lifetime. Tell me which one has been done in your favor.
I haven't found a single one.
It's all done from special interest. The special interests write the laws, so they give them to Congress, and Congress passes them, and the president signs them. So we need to, every time there's an election, both city, county, state, and federal, we need to look for some courageous, independent person that is willing to go one step beyond and run for an office. And if we can ever reach the point where a majority of the people in the Senate and the House of Representatives and the President are independents rather than Democrats or Republicans, then we can start writing laws for the benefit of the people. One of the things that we need to do then is every state and the federal government should have a law of recall and California using a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, but anyway, it's if they get up a petition. Enough people sign it, then they have to put it up for a vote, and then if they vote in favor of it, then it has to become law. But then we need, once that happens, then we've got to get money out of our politics. This year we're going to see some major uncovering of scam and corruption that goes on with our government. And it's all because of money. We have these lobbyists. There's over about 14, 15 1,500 lobbyists, or maybe it's thousands. I believe it's 15,000 lobbyists in Washington, that their sole purpose is to give money to the political leaders so that they will do their bidding. And you're going to see major scandals coming up this year. We've already had DeLay. He's been charged with a crime. The vice president's major counsel is charged with a crime. So, and one of the guys that Abramoff has already plea bargained. I think he's going to get a 10-year sentence in prison. But if he did that to avoid probably giving up millions of dollars in fines and maybe spending 20 or 30 years in prison. But he's going to dump on all these people that have taken his money, and there's some speculation that just the ones at the top are really going to be embarrassed over this. And the Speaker of the House has already, I believe he said he returned some like $70,000 that Abramoff had given to him. He returned him or gave it to charity or something. Well, he only did that when the spotlight was shined on him. If they hadn't shined the spotlight on him, that $70,000 would be in his pocket. But you're going to see a lot of graft and corruption exposed this year in the news media. And that may be part of the plan, too.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder that a lot of the time.
Nothing of significance happened anywhere in the world that is not carefully planned by the elite.
Yes, that is the absolute truth to the whole thing. And people need to recognize, I hear Alex talking a lot of times, oh, they're running scared, you know, we're uncovering them. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, I find where they're trying to discredit America, and the whole point being that if you're a globalist, you don't want a shining beacon of freedom standing out saying, this is great, this was the way it should be. You want this shining beacon of freedom to turn into a tyrannical monster.
That's right.
So that later you can refer back to it and say, no, look what happens when you gain liberty. We must control you.
Yep.
It's so true, people. We are on the brink. I mean, if some of the politicians themselves would start to open their eyes, now a lot of them are, they would start to realize that we are on the edge of that cliff, and that if you want to go ahead and make a jump, you know, go ahead and stand in front of this juggernaut that's coming at you. We're in peril either way. So go ahead and stand strong. Stand in front of these people. Try and block these initiatives. Try and block the things that they're doing. We need the politicians and the police and the military and everybody on the side of humanity, not on the side of these bankers.
Yeah, and if we had, if every elected representative were a carbon copy of Ron Paul, we would have a completely different world.
Absolutely.
he's one of the very few in Washington that is looking out after our interest.
Yes, he is standing alone and standing strong. People are afraid, you know, they're afraid of losing their money, they're afraid of losing their jobs and their homes, but they're going to lose it anyway, you know. Yep. If we don't stop this, then it's all gone. We got about 45 seconds left here, Galen. Went fast.
Well, I just encourage everybody, don't believe what we say, but to go out and research it yourself.
Always.
And see if you can prove we're wrong. You can't, but you need to try to do that. And if you can't prove us wrong, then you need to tell everybody that listened to you so that you can also help in this effort to tell the truth to the entire world.
Realize that we're at the 11th hour. It's time to get up off the couch and do something about it. If it's even just going around and talking to your friends, the more information, the more preparation you have, the better.
That's correct.
We're done.
Been a pleasure.
It's been great.
Do you have one of these?
I do not.
Well, there's your copy.
Well, I'll trade you. I'll give you a copy of my DVD if you
all
like.
All right, sure.
I don't know if you want it or not.
Yeah, sure
it's
do.
Crazy madness. All right. Well, It sounds like Jack Blood showed up. I noticed that they stopped pulling the camera there. Just leave all that air. I'll clean it up once I take a pee.
And, you got a pen?
I do.